From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. Millions of Americans have spent today welcoming winter or not. Here's a shot of our front yard here at Rockefeller Center. Snow stretching from the eastern Dakotas all the way to New York. Some areas picking up 10 inches. And that, as you might imagine, has created some treacherous conditions and thousands of flight cancellations all across the country. And there are more bone-chilling temperatures coming this week. Morgan Radford's been on the frozen front lines all day.
Delta 724, we just went into the ground.
A scary moment for passengers sliding off a snow-covered runway in Detroit. Delta Flight 724 struggling to brake, skidding into the grass, the 70 people on board unharmed, but adding to the chaos across Midwest airports.
My first flight got canceled.
Thousands of flights canceled or delayed across the country, with Chicago leading the pack.
It's been an annoying flying out over here today.
And how has this entire experience been getting canceled, rebooked?
Expensive.
Outside, neighbors digging out of 6 inches of snow, with more on the way.
We're expecting a big one this year.
The northern plains could see lows dip more than 30 degrees below average this week. The Midwest and Northeast, in some places, dropping below zero. In Wisconsin, crews clearing the gridiron for the Green Bay Packers. While in neighboring Minnesota, icy roads making a slick commute for travelers fighting through 7 inches of snow. Out west, this massive pine tree crashing into four lanes of an Oakland highway, smashing a car and trapping its driver inside.
He's blessed to be able to walk away from this collision today.
Truck drivers in Oregon stuck in place for 3 days, surrounded by ice.
I've been driving truck for 21 years, and this is one of the worst ice storms I've seen coming down the gorge.
A winter blast that's just beginning.
It's the tip of the iceberg, literally.
Almost 4,000 flights delayed or canceled all across the country, nearly half of them right here in Chicago. This is nearly 60 million Americans remain under a winter weather advisory. Kate?
Morgan, thanks so much. President-elect Donald Trump weighed in today on a CIA assessment about Russian interference in the election, saying he didn't believe it and suggesting that it was another example of Democrats being sore losers. And that is drawing a strong reaction by some in the intelligence community. Here's Peter Alexander.
Donald Trump defiant, today lashing out at the CIA's analysis reported by the Washington Post that Russia intervened in the election to help him win.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's just another excuse. I don't believe it.
Trump's comments highlight a growing rift with the intelligence community. The president-elect only attending a handful of daily briefings.
I'm like a smart person. I don't have to be told the same thing and the same words every single day for the next 8 years.
Intelligence experts dispute that explanation.
It's not like every piece of intelligence or every report is the same sort of type of assessment.
Tonight, Trump is also touting his expected pick of ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State.
He's much more than a business executive. I mean, he's a world-class player. He does massive deals in Russia. He does massive deals for the company, not for himself, for the company.
But Tillerson could face a contentious Senate confirmation, even from some Republicans. Marco Rubio tweeting, being a friend of Vladimir is not an attribute I'm hoping for from a Secretary of State. Among Trump's biggest challenges, balancing his pro-business promises while navigating tensions with foreign rivals. New tonight, a $16 billion blockbuster, Boeing selling 80 commercial airplanes to Iran, made possible by last year's controversial nuclear agreement, which Trump has denounced. This, the biggest sale by a U.S. company to the Islamic Republic since the Iranian Revolution in 1979. The president-elect yet to comment, instead taking a second swipe at Boeing's contract for Air Force One.
I want to make good deals for this country. I don't need a $4.2 billion airplane to fly around in, okay? I don't need that.
As for Donald Trump's dismissal of the CIA's assessment about Russia, tonight a former senior intelligence official tells NBC News, quote, "It is curious that someone who refuses to take intelligence briefings has decided that he doesn't agree with the analysis contained in them." Kate?
Peter Alexander in Washington. Peter, thanks. Overseas, horrific scenes today in Egypt, where a bombing at Cairo's largest Christian cathedral left at least 25 people dead and wounded almost 50, many of them women and children attending Sunday Mass. It comes as Egypt deals with increasing sectarian tensions. We get more tonight from NBC's Matt Bradley.
Wails of grief,
turned to shouts of outrage. A bombing that tore through a crowded Sunday morning mass in Cairo left at least 24 dead, dozens more injured, and a church adjacent to the iconic St. Mark's Cathedral broken and bloodied. The symbolism is lost on no one. This is the most important church complex for the Middle East's largest Christian minority. And with Christians under fire across the region, many here feel neglected by the very regime that claims to protect them. This woman screams at a local official. Is it okay that the church was hit? This is the second such attack in 3 days. A blast at a security checkpoint on Friday killed 6 police officers. Jihadists claimed responsibility. Today's bombing has so far gone unclaimed. Suspicion will likely fall on the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamist group President Sisi deposed in 2013. At a rally shortly after the attack, a crowd chants slogans rarely heard since Egypt's revolution. The people want the downfall of the regime. A bad omen for a president who rose to power on the exact same slogan. Matt Bradley, NBC News.
New allegations tonight involving one of this country's biggest banks, Wells Fargo. You may recall back in September, federal regulators said that Wells Fargo had set up millions of bank and credit card accounts that customers never requested. Now new allegations are about life insurance policies that Wells Fargo offered in a partnership with Prudential. We get more tonight from NBC's Gadi Schwartz.
It was one of the most widespread cases of consumer fraud and abuse in recent history. More than 5,000 Wells Fargo employees fired after the Los Angeles city attorney filed a lawsuit which alleged bankers signed up customers for millions of unwanted accounts to meet aggressive sales quotas. Now, a new whistleblower lawsuit, this time aimed at Prudential, where 3 former internal investigators say they found suspicious life insurance policies linked to unmanned kiosks set up in Wells Fargo banks.
We determined that Wells Fargo did sign up clients for the My Term policies through Prudential without their knowledge or consent.
The former Prudential investigators say they found evidence that Spanish-speaking customers and others may have been pushed into policies by Wells Fargo bankers. And when they took what they found to their Prudential managers, those managers decided to go to Wells Fargo before their own customers.
They wanted to go to Wells Fargo first. Perhaps they could just sweep this under the rug and not have to even report it or let it be known to the public. I strongly believe that we were terminated because we were raising the red flags to senior management.
Prudential released a statement saying these employee terminations were entirely unrelated to Prudential's business with Wells Fargo, adding the company is still reviewing the MyTerm product through Wells Fargo, offering to reimburse premiums in some cases. Wells Fargo also issuing a statement saying if we identify any instances where a customer received a product they didn't ask for, we will make it right. Now more accounts under review. The lawyer for the whistleblower saying she will seek a class action lawsuit for consumers, expected to be filed next week. Gadi Schwartz, NBC News, Los Angeles.
This is the last week to enroll for next year in another kind of insurance, Obamacare, which has been targeted by President-elect Donald Trump. And now, with so many questions about the future of the Affordable Care Act, some patients wonder whether signing up for Obamacare is worth it. Some perspective tonight from NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
Following a cancer scare and a kidney infection, part-time teacher Lisa Ermston is a strong supporter of Obamacare, especially its guarantee of coverage for pre-existing conditions.
My premiums aren't bad. I'm paying $180 a month.
She plans to renew her policy this week, but worries about what'll happen when President-elect Donald Trump takes office.
It makes me nervous.
Trump has promised to repeal Obamacare, but he's also said he's willing to keep parts of it, including protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Experts say any changes could take at least a year, with likely procedural delays.
There's more reason to worry about January 2018 or January 2019 when there's a greater chance that there will be programs dismantled.
Today, more than 20 million people rely on the Affordable Care Act for health insurance. But premiums are set to rise 25% on average next year, though some of that will be offset by more subsidies.
In your view, has Obamacare hurt patient care?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it.
Dr. Fareed Nafai in Warren, Ohio, is among those eager for Obamacare to be gutted.
The policies of Obamacare have made it very difficult for us in private practice to stay in private practice.
But the two main trade groups for the U.S. hospital industry are warning that repealing Obamacare could cost hospitals $165 billion by 2026 and trigger a public health crisis.
So nobody's smoking.
Nobody. At the Bornkin Medical Center of Miami-Dade, a steady stream of patients are still signing up.
Any changes that may take place in the future would have to consider pre-existing. If not, emergency room costs would skyrocket across the country.
For now, patients like Elisa Ermston are in limbo.
So I don't know what this means for the future.
Wondering whether Obamacare is on life support and for how long. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Warren, Ohio.
6 months ago tonight, hundreds of people packed into a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. Hours later, 49 people were massacred at the hands of a gunman who had pledged allegiance to ISIS. Tonight, survivors and family members are still dealing with that tragedy as new images emerge from the crime scene. NBC's Scott Cohn has our report.
Tonight, newly released surveillance video reveals a new angle of the horror before, during, and after the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. 49 lives taken in a place they thought was safe from bullying and judgment. Security cameras at the Pulse nightclub show the shooter, Omar Mateen, parking his minivan under a canopy shortly before 2 a.m. on June 12th. At 2:04, 2 minutes after the first report of shots fired, police arrive. Some patrons run for their lives. Others lay wounded in the parking lot. 2:35, Mateen calls 911 from inside the club and announces his allegiance to ISIS.
I want to let you know I'm in Orlando and I did the shooting.
The standoff lasts 3 hours before Mateen is finally taken down. 6 months later, people come to the still-shuttered nightclub to pay their respects.
It's heartwarming seeing all the messages, to know that thousands of people are coming from all over to leave their love here.
Not far away, Jessica Silva has opened a more permanent memorial, the salon her brother, Juan Velasquez, owned with his partner of 16 years before both were killed at Pulse.
It had been 6 months. That every single morning we expect that had been a bad dream, that's it. But it's our reality.
Official remembrances begin later tonight, including a candlelight vigil at the exact time the rampage began, the moment those left behind live with every day.
This is his dream, and now it's my dream to complete all he wanted.
Scott Cohn, NBC News.
There are reports tonight from Syria that ISIS has recaptured the ancient city of Palmyra, one of many archaeological jewels ISIS had destroyed. Another is Nimrud in northern Iraq, where we saw heartbreaking images last year of militants smashing irreplaceable artifacts. That city was recently retaken by Iraqi forces, and NBC's Lucy Kavanaugh went there to see what remains.
Leveled by ISIS last year, retaken by Iraqi forces last month, Nimrud lies in ruins. For 3,000 years, these mythical winged bulls, half man, half beast, guarded palace doorways.
Now they are gone, symbols of an ancient empire destroyed by ISIS. These ruins are all that remain.
History obliterated, and ISIS wanted the world to watch. With sledgehammers and power tools, what they didn't blow up, they tore down by hand. Layla Saleh watched the video dozens of times, but it doesn't make it any less painful. Visiting Nimrud as a schoolgirl inspired her to become an archaeologist. She spent years excavating the site.
It's around 10 years to restore the site again.
Hard to imagine now, but it was one of the richest archaeological sites in the world. Today, this trove of treasures lies unprotected, open to looters. Generations of Sheikh Ali al-Bayati's family looked after the site.
How does it make you feel to see this cultural heritage destroyed?
It's like when your mother is killed or your father is killed, and your history is killed at the same time.
But this teenager is fighting back with art. 17-year-old Nina Thabit has been sculpting replicas of Nimrud's most precious pieces.
10 days, same this.
A lot of work.
Yes.
The task ahead, figuring out what's lost for good.
It means there are still a rich places there or priceless objects there under the ground.
And what might one day be rebuilt.
Lucy Kafanov, NBC News, Nimrud, Iraq.
We grow up with them in storybooks and in real life. Who doesn't love to be around a giraffe? So it was jolting to hear that we might be losing them. Scientists warned this past week that the number of giraffes has plunged and the species is now at risk of extinction. We get more from our chief environmental affairs correspondent, Ann Thompson.
Giraffes, the sentries of Africa's savannas, watching out for trouble nearly two stories above the earth. Now in trouble themselves. Their numbers plummeting 40% in the last 30 years, such a dramatic drop that the IUCN, which designates endangered species, now lists giraffes as vulnerable, victims of what some call a silent extinction.
The crisis for giraffes has really gone under the radar.
Filmmaker David Hamlin has chronicled the giraffe's plight, losing its land to development, killed by poachers for their meat, hide, and tails.
These animals are in the consciousness of all of us. They're in the consciousness of basically the whole planet from childhood.
At places like the Bronx Zoo, these improbable and inquisitive creatures spark wonder in school children.
When they eat, they wiggle their mouth a little bit.
Can you imitate them? Up close, even some adults can't help but be awed.
It's all over me!
Animated versions sell toys and movie tickets.
Beyond the fascination, if giraffes no longer roamed Africa's grasslands, what difference would it make? How would their disappearance impact the balance of nature?
Dr. Pat Thomas, the associate director of the Bronx Zoo, says the giraffes stimulate growth in the acacia trees on which they feed. The trees, in turn, provide homes for birds and ants, homes that would change if giraffes become extinct. Pat, can we reverse the decline?
I believe we can, as long as we can set aside protected areas where giraffes currently live, and ideally enlarge those protected areas and curb illegal hunting. There's no reason at all that giraffes can't increase in numbers.
Protecting their habitat to make our world better. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Let's face it, the prospect of wearing glasses, not something most kids look forward to. But these days, the idea might be a little more palatable thanks to a couple of parents and the company they started to make glasses for kids a little more cool. As Steve Patterson reports, the idea was inspired by their son, and it's now helping children all over the world.
Next comes the letter E.
If you ask 3-year-old Jonas, he'd say there's no better time of day than a little morning study session. And maybe more impressive than all the things Jonas knows is how determined he has to be to see what he's describing. Ben and Laura Harrison's son is severely visually impaired, born with a rare condition called Peter's anomaly.
Peter's anomaly is a condition where the cornea, the children are born with a cloudy cornea.
It was so painful because it felt like my life had just flipped completely.
What followed, a medical odyssey, 21 eye surgeries, but you wouldn't know by being around Jonas.
It's a beautiful day.
Mostly because of who he is.
Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah.
But partly because of how he looks.
When the doctors told us that he did have some potential for sight, you know, I started looking. If he's going to wear glasses, you know, he's going to look like a little stud muffin.
Run, run, run.
But Ben's search for style was pretty frustrating.
The options that are out there today were the same options I was embarrassed to be in, you know, back in the 80s, 90s.
So realizing the gap in good fashion, mom and dad took matters into their own hands, opening a business in his name, Jonas Paul Eyewear. Stylish specs for kids most in need of a self-esteem boost. And for every pair purchased, Jonas Paul donates to nonprofits, providing eye exams, supplements, and glasses to kids around the world. So far, the Buy Sight, Give Sight program has helped more than 22,000 families in 64 countries.
It's been neat, especially with our business, to feel like, hey, you can make an impact and you can change a life.
Isn't this fun?
As for Jonas, the little guy is a daily inspiration, a reminder of how beautiful life can be from even the smallest point of view. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Thank you, Jonas. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Up next, football night in America, the Dallas Cowboys taking on the New York Giants. Lester Holt will be back in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York. I'll see you tomorrow on MSNBC 3 Eastern. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.